Welcome to Scanner School. One of my favorite things to do is answer your scanner radio questions. And we're answering more questions on today's podcast. Welcome to Scanner School. My name is Felix Denberger, and I've been scanning for over 40 years, and I love teaching about this amazing hobby. If you've never seen one of these episodes before, this is where I answer submitted questions, and you can submit your questions by going to our website. Go over to scannerschool.com/ask and fill out the form, or even better, hit that SpeakPipe link or call us at 516-308-2885 and leave us a voicemail, because if you leave me a voicemail and I answer that question on the podcast, that puts you in the running for a free tutoring session. And tutoring sessions are there to help you, just like this, one-on-one over Zoom, where I can talk to you and work with you one-on-one to help you overcome whatever it is troubling you with the scanner radio hobby, whether that is figuring out what frequencies to use, how to program up your scanner radio, how to pick the right scanner, or even how to set up a software-defined radio. You can find all this over at scannerschool.com/tutoring or at the link below. So let's get on to the first question for this month.
Hey, Phil, it's Jenny Taylor from Ontario, Ohio. I have an audio file I want to send you. I guess I can just email it. I came across this frequency in an analog scanner. I think I have a Pro 2053. It's old. Anyway, I wanted to send it to you. And I'm wondering, what is the best way to identify signals such as what I'm going to send you? That's my question. I haven't done this before, so hopefully this works out. I will send you the files to your email, and hopefully we can figure this one out. I'm just curious more than anything. Have a good evening, Phil. 7-3.
Jenny also included a audio and a picture from what she's hearing. So let's go ahead and take a look at that before we answer her question. Jenny, thank you so much for being a longtime Patreon supporter, as well as asking a question this month. So what it sounds to me is that you are listening to a Motorola Type 2 system, and this site has gone into what they call a fail soft mode. This isn't like your computer with a fail safe mode. This is what they call a fail soft mode. And what this means is that this trunked site has either lost connectivity to the rest of the network or has lost a control channel. Now, what this means is that there's no more trunk capability with this site. And what happens here is that the system sends out a beacon tone or an alert tone. Well, that's what you're hearing here is a double tone going out that says, hey, we're in some sort of state here. We're not in a normal state. Something here went abnormal. So to take a reference to one of my favorite movies, Young Frankenstein, we have a system that is beaconing out, alerting users in an audible format that it is not operating to what they expect it to operate as. It's not going to operate correctly. Hence the double audible tones. Now, what we have here is a system, like I said, that is kind of limping by. And all of the radios now are going to default into their fail safe mode. And what that typically means is that radios have been pre-programmed with where to go when a trunked system is in this state. For example, maybe all of the police talk groups go to the first frequency in the voice pool. All the fire departments go to the second frequency. All of the buses and transportation go to the third. EMSs go to the fourth, hospitals to the fifth. It's all down the line. So instead of operating with talk groups and only hearing your particular group and bouncing around in the pool of frequencies, what's happening is you're being parked on a frequency and you're going to remain there until the trunk system can regain its marbles, start broadcasting with a control channel, and the system will then return to a normal state. Now, from what I understand, a end user's radio will also show that it is in some sort of fail soft mode. But if you can't put physical eyeballs on the radio, or if you're out of, you know, eyeshot or something like that, that double audible tone that you are hearing is kind of an alert tone to anybody to say, okay, we're not going to use this system as, you know, as we're expecting to use it. So it's really cool that you were able to pull this off the air and hear it and see what was going on. But I'm kind of curious as to what else was happening on this system, and were you seeing what I'm describing happening? I've seen it from the control channel point of view, where I'm watching it with a trunked system analyzer, such as Unitrunker or SDR Trunk, or at the time I was doing it was Pro96Com. And basically what you see is all of the radios are getting a denial request on the system, which is the trunk system's still up, the control channel's still operating, but it's just denying everything left and right. So instead of going into its fail soft mode, it just went into total chaos, so to speak. So, Jenny, to answer your question, from what I believe, what I am seeing from your screenshot and the sound clip that you've sent us, I believe that your system that you were monitoring at that particular time went into a fail soft mode, that users were sent over to their predefined frequencies, and that eventually the system came back around, got back on its feet again, and was operating fine. So I'm just wondering, as a follow-up question to you, were you able to scan the frequencies in that trunk system and hear what was actually going on as a non-trunked radio system? Again, we've lost trunk capabilities here. The system has gone into a repeat mode only. And yeah. There we go. That's where they operate. Now, we did talk about this more on a podcast episode. I think it was 253, if not mistaken. We'll link to that down in the description. And there's also a version of this on YouTube, which, again, if you're watching this podcast on YouTube, we put a link up at the top as well. So you can go ahead and click on that if you'd like to. Jenny, again, thank you so much for submitting your questions. It's always great to hear from you. And again, hold on to the end of this episode, because we're going to find out if you want a free tutoring session just by picking up the phone or hitting that SpeakPipe button and asking me your question. And before we continue on to our next question for this month, I want to take a second here to thank our Patreon supporters. Our Patreon supporters is what makes it possible for me to come here weekly and deliver content just like this on both an audible podcast, which you can find on all the podcast player platforms I'm aware of, and over here now on YouTube. And again, I just want to thank everybody who subscribed to us over here on YouTube, because we have just broken the 10,000 subscription milestone just the day before I'm recording this. So if you haven't yet subscribed to us over on YouTube, make sure you do that, because that really certainly helps us out. And again, only 80% of the people who watch my YouTube videos are actual subscribers. And again, you can help support the podcast also by going over to Patreon, scannerschool.com/Patreon. But again, a nice, simple, free way to help support us, just click subscribe over on YouTube.
Do you feel lost when it comes to the scanner hobby? Are you looking for someone to answer your questions? Do you have a new radio and you need help understanding how it works? Or are you working on a big project and need somebody to bounce ideas off of? Do you need a little bit more personal assistance than what you can get from an online community? And are you looking for somebody to dedicate their attention and their time to helping you out when it comes to getting you unstuck with whatever it is that you are struggling with when it comes to the scanner radio hobby? I'm here to do just that. See, you can book me for a session right now where I'll sit on Zoom and do a video or a screen share with you, just as if I am sitting across the table and helping you out. You can book your tutoring session right now by going to scannerschool.com/tutoring. I can't wait to help you out.
All right, our next question comes in from a very loyal listener, supporter, and podcast guest that we've had on numerous times. Garrett, go ahead and ask me your question.
Hi, Phil. It's Garrett coming to you with a question about scanning low band. Here in California, the California Highway Patrol uses low band for their dispatch radio traffic. And right now I'm using the telescoping antenna from my RTL SDR to improve my low band reception performance. But I feel like I could be using something else. I seem to recall that your state police are on low band as well. So what antenna or antennas do you use to improve your low band reception? I hope all is well with you, Phil. And thanks as always for a great podcast.
Garrett, low band. Let me tell you, the clear best way to improve your low band reception is to get an antenna outside and get up as high as possible. Now, if you don't have access to a 50-foot tower or a 25-foot tower, at least try and put something on your chimney or on the peak of your house or even in an attic space. Get that antenna up as high as possible. I'm saying this because low band is primarily only simplex. Very rarely will we find low band repeaters, but that's to say they're not out there. But for the majority of the stuff, low band is simplex only. And what that means, again, is point to point. You're only going to hear one side of the conversation, the other side of the conversation, depending how close you are to them, how much power they're putting out, how high their antennas are. So in order to maximize success here, higher is better, and an antenna with some gain on it would definitely be helpful as well. You can get a lot of bang for the buck by going with a disc cone antenna that also supports low band. So we're looking at VHF low, right? 30 megahertz and above. And typically a disc cone antenna with a whip on it is what we are looking for. Again, outdoors is best, highest is best, but as a very, 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 very liberal definition of the word, a compromise, yes, a low band antenna on your SDR is kind of making the best of a bad situation. Which might hear is like a telescopic antenna that you typically have on a scanner radio, desktop scanner radio, right? We've all seen these antennas. These are the ones that come with the right angle adapter on it, and they're made out of metal, and you can extend the whole thing out or you can collapse all the way down. And when you extend these things all the way up, right, then they're basically as good as they're gonna get for low band. Because again, we want a bigger antenna as the frequencies go down in megahertz, right? If you're looking for something, right, we're looking at, depending where you are, I think Highway Patrol for California is in a neighborhood of 30-ish, 38, 39. I got to double check that one. It may be you get a CB antenna and you shorten it just a little bit to get into the public safety band. If you're looking for something for amateur radio, that 10-meter band is going to put you around 28 megahertz as well. It may be a little bit too long to get a benefit out of, but again, it could really help you as well. But we're looking at big antennas here. Definitely something outdoors if you can spin it. But again, make the best of a bad situation here. Again, there's really no, pun intended here, long or short of it, right? You got to get a bigger antenna. You're going to want to bring it outside. You're going to want to get it as high as you can. I know I'm repeating myself here, but that's really the best way to pick up low band. Now, low band is very fun, okay? Don't sell it short. Maybe a little bit of a pun intended here with this one as well. There's a lot of activity that is still on VHF low, from like 30 to 50 megahertz, right? There's still a lot that we can listen to. Yes, it is going the way of the dodo. Yes, manufacturers are pulling out. Yes, a lot of this stuff is going up to UHF or VHF trunk systems. But there's still a very active community that we've talked about in the podcast in the past that really scans low band, and they share what they are hearing on a Facebook group. Now, the name of the Facebook group is called Low Band VHF Public Safety Scanner Skip. Very active community over on Facebook. And they share what they are picking up almost on a daily to weekly basis. Now, one of the things that we like to look at here is our logs, right? And one of the easiest ways to find out what activity that we are hearing on low band is by running software like ProScan or Butel's ARC, whatever the model number is for your scanner here. And what that does is it allows you to log what frequencies that the scanner is stopping on. You can log a PL or a DPL code. And if you have it wired into your sound card, you can also log audio files and then date and timestamp. Put a frequency stamp, a PL stamp on the file name as well, so you can marry out what you're listening to with what the logs are, and even go into the software itself and hit play and go through the logs that way. Long story short here on this one, it's really fun because you could say, oh, I heard this frequency. Then you go and find it in the FCC database or over on Radio Reference. And a lot of these people are picking up transmissions that are states away from where they actually live. Again, this is DXing on the VHF low band spectrum. What can we expect to find here? Well, you may find some utility companies, water companies, oil companies, oil delivery companies, some buses, again, public safety, like your California Highway Patrol. Here where I live, 4610, 4646, yeah, that's still used for fire dispatch. Yeah, they're kind of getting away from it, but it's still in use here. So here's what I say. I say embrace low band, embrace VHF low. Again, get a antenna, put it outside on a mast, run some quality coax, and bring that into your scanner and just hear what you can hear. Yes, this means you may need to spend a weekend putting an antenna on the house if you can. But if you can't, try and get an antenna outdoors. Try and get an antenna in an attic space. Try to get a quality antenna as high as you can. Hey, put something on your car if you can't put something at home. Maybe you live in an apartment. Maybe you're in a basement. Get an antenna that works well on low band and set one up mobile as you're out driving and doing the errands and getting the groceries and picking up the dog treats and, you know, running errands, right? Put that low band on. Listen to what you can hear. I'm pretty sure that you may hear something. And even the military, too, still operates down on low band. So, Garrett, yeah, I would say ditch that low band antenna that came with your SDR. Try to get something high. Try and get something outside. And, hey, maybe just try and get something in the car because low band is certainly fun. And, Garrett, I know you're a guy who takes action on some of these suggestions. So if you're trying anything I'm suggesting today, I would love to hear some feedback and let me know how you're making out. And hey, let me know what you are hearing on low band as well. And maybe if you can, try this out for a while, I'd love to hear a success story. Maybe come back on the podcast. Let's talk about low band. I know it's something here that I keep meaning to try, but, you know, it's on the list of things to do. Garrett, again, thanks for asking a question. It's always great to hear from you. And again, stick around because we're going to find out if you're the winning of a free tutoring session. So again, I want to thank Jenny and Garrett for asking me their questions on this month's Ask Scanner School session. And I'm in need of more questions. So please go over to scannerschool.com/ask. Use our SpeakPipe link. Call us up, 516-308-2885. Or again, just fill out the form over on our Ask page, submit your questions, and also you can email me. My email address is also on the Ask page. So let's get to it. Let's find out who's winning this tutoring session for this month. And again, hey, I must be turning over something new here in 2024 because I'm feeling generous again. Jenny, Garrett, because you've supported the podcast and for so long, I want to just say thank you. So for each of you, a free tutoring session. Jenny, Garrett, reach out to me via email and I'll send you a coupon code that you can use on our website to book your free tutoring call. I want to thank everybody else who has helped us reach that 10,000 subscriber milestone. Again, we'll catch you all next week.
Before we wrap up this week's podcast, I want to take a minute here to thank all of our Patreon supporters.
Alvin Zaz, Arthur Heron, Bill Kay, Bob Robs, Bob Middleton, Brandon Sammons, Brian Arsenal, Brian King, Chris Paris, Classic Hank, Craig Harper, Dan, Danielle Caviola, Dave Pasco, David C., David Kudneski, David Robertson, David Watts, Danny Crotty, Ed Walsh, Ed, K2EPM, Greg Johnson, I Hate Junk Mail, Jack Haycock, Jacques Berry, James Felling, Jay Reed, Jeff Block, Jeff Chapman, Jeff Waldrop, Jenny Taylor, Jim B., Jim Heiner, John Keel, John Sweeney, John Derby, John Goldenberg, Joshua Robb, KC5, DJT, Ken Newberry, Kenneth Fowler, Kevin Zwicky, Lenny Bauer, Les Stevenson, Lloyd R., Luke Hartnett, Mark Beebe, Mason Kramer, Matt, and NU8H. Michael Kroger, Michael Meadows, Michael Thomas, Mike Lopez, KN6, FXR. Mike Piltz, Nicholas Stenger, Paul Bowling, Paul Thiel, Randy Young, Raymond Hill, Rich Palmieri, Ronnie Bach, Scott Lefgren, Stephen Falcon, Thomas Giampino, Todd Glendie, BA7ZZT, and William Arcand, W1WRA.
Find out more about Patreon and our support tiers by visiting scannerschool.com/Patreon. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you again next week. 73.